Yeah, you're getting a little, you're getting the whirlwind here.
How about we talk about Insert Credit? Wait, what is this show called? The Insert Credit Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares?
Episode 103.
Yeah.
Yeah, 103 would be what we're going to call it.
So for those who are on the audio version of the Insert Credit Show, Joel just put up one finger when he said three.
It was like a correct. It was like, you know. I got that one right this time.
So
we agree on that.
One, two, three, like that, right?
Yeah,
sure.
I'll use my thumb next time.
Okay.
So we are on episode 103 of the Insert Credit Show, and if you listen to the last one, you know what we're doing here, I guess. So let's get started. First of all, how many times did each of you change your shirt before we started broadcasting this evening? After joining the feed around 6 o'clock Pacific time.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tim. Please answer the question.
I was just saying, I just changed it once.
Yeah, I also just changed it once.
Yeah, once for me as well.
So no one wins.
Brandon was wearing
okay.
Yeah, nobody wins.
Brandon was wearing a goofy shirt, but yeah, Brandon was apparently wearing a shirt that was similar to the shirt Frank was wearing. So, upon hearing that, he thought, ooh, gross, and had to change his shirt.
Yeah, it looked like Brandon had borrowed your shirt from last week.
And then, in order to, I don't know, further the idea of wearing a similar shirt to someone, I picked a shirt I have that has some cartoonish characters on it.
Yeah.
To go along with the Sailor Moon.
So, I didn't realize
Yeah,
I didn't realize there was a theme. So
I didn't either.
When I went to the bathroom and came back, Brandon was like, oh, they thought you left to go change your shirt too. And I was like, there's a shirt changing thing? So I didn't realize there was a thematic thing with cartoon characters. So I chose poorly with my Grandpa Rock's t-shirt, as seen in one episode of the HBO drama The Sopranos.
You were in The Sopranos?
Good show.
No, my shirt was.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Famous shirt.
Not this exact shirt, I don't think, but...
Actually, the only reason I'm wearing this shirt, it's not for thematic reasons, but it's a Japanese size, L size.
Mm.
So that means it's shaped like a square.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you can't see below my midriff is what makes this wearable right now.
Yeah, well, my Sailor Moon shirt is actually, I think, like for a fat 9-year-old. which
like
is the only reason it fits me. It's real big around the midsection, but it's got this extremely high collar that goes almost up to my Adam's apple. So, you know, it's a pretty classy shirt that I definitely will wear to a convention with children.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing is safer than that, I would think.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off here with a question that came up after hours in the lounging portion of last week's show. Why did Satoru Iwata fake his own death?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What did he stand to gain from this?
Man, that guy.
So, right, like we were... Oh, go ahead.
Oh. Well, I mean, he joined Nintendo at what was sort of a dark time, and he fought to bring Nintendo back. He brought Nintendo the DS, the Wii. They were just making McDonald's hamburger money. They were making movie theater popcorn dollars. They were wealthy and healthy while he was there. And then this whole Wii U thing with this television screen and your game controller. Now they're talking about their next console's going to just be them playing ball, you know? Like they're just going to make a console that has the graphics and bank on their properties. Like, so basically what happened was Iwata introduced novel control concepts. Well, okay, the N64 had a novel control concept of the analog stick, but he took it further, you know, a touch screen, the thing you whap around, the screen inside your thing. So to think about it, like it was, I don't know. He brought them glory, and then it just was all going to heck.
Then he went off to Valhalla.
Yeah. So now that he's in Valhalla, Satoru Valhalla.
Yeah.
Man, that poor guy, man.
So the reason sucks. He probably faked his own death is because he and Gunpei Yokoi are going to start a new game console and whole business that's going to save our youths. Our childhoods are going to come back is what's going to happen.
Yeah. He faked his own death because he got to the point where he could no longer tell investors, no, we will not make mobile games.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe... Yeah, maybe his fake death was to sort of martyr himself so that the investors would be like, well, it wasn't Mr. Iwata's wish before he passed.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's he was always trying to introduce new stuff, and Nintendo's next console is, by all speculation, just going to be a game console, you know?
Yeah, well, you know,
it's just going to be... a PlayStation with Mario on it.
I don't know if you guys heard about this rumor, but I hear that if you turn on a Virtual Boy at 1 a.m., a.k.a. 13 o'clock, on the fourth day of the fourth month.
That would be 1 p.m.
Yeah, 1 p.m. is 13 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, that's 13. Sorry, 1 p.m. is what I meant. It's a rumor, sorry. Anyway, on the fourth day of the
fourth... Yeah, I keep my phone in 24-hour clock just so I can avoid things like this.
Yeah, embarrassing. Boom. Anyway, fourth month, fourth day, without a cartridge in the machine, then you can see his wandering soul. Even though he wasn't
shit.
He wasn't at Nintendo during that time, it has been captured. Well, in there, so.
I mean, his programming was in basically everything as far as I can tell, so
yeah,
it doesn't surprise me.
Ghost in the machine, you know, that's what it is.
You know, on the subject of rumors, I don't hear enough references to the help me out. How do you pronounce the notable business paper in Japan? Is it Nikkei?
Nikkei, yeah.
Nikkei.
Nikkei. Whoops, Nikkei.
Shimbun.
Yeah,
I haven't heard it referenced enough that Nikkei said
it's Nikkei.
Nikkei. said that the NX will be Android based, and Nikkei has, as far as I can tell, never been wrong about their early Nintendo rumors.
They know the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so that's
I gonna did be a hear new about year. That.
You didn't hear about that, yeah. It's weird.
No,
like,
I did.
Oh, you did hear about that, okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't feel like that's commonly heard, you know, but at the same time, like I can't remember any of the specific Nintendo rumors, but they seem to have a 100% track record of being right when they publish something about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Well, because we're
Nintendo's
trying to
new
read
handheld
so...
was going to have two screens.
Yeah.
Back in 2004.
Because we're trying to read so deeply into this and create drama where there is none. Like, why not look at the fact that, you know, he was always introducing new stuff. And if you look at this past E3 where he appeared in puppet form, which is clearly, I mean, a kind of a cloning process or something, but everything they did was old shit, just shoved into
super
a new game.
Super old, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is this indicative of, like, was he like, that's it, I'm out of here?
Maybe he was already gone, and that's why they had to use a puppet.
Well, that's what some people posited.
Well, he was sick, right?
He was on video as well.
Yeah, he was.
He made some video appearances. He was real skinny. He lost a whole bunch of weight.
Yeah. Man, it's real sad about that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Guy straight up got owned. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I was thinking, and this is really morbid, and this is the kind of commentary that you won't see on the blogs, kids. guy's laying in prison, by which I mean the hospital. He's laying in prison in a bed on his deathbed, and he's just thinking, man, my company is not looking real good. I joined this company. I saved them. I brought them billions of dollars. I made them McDonald's hamburger dollars, and now I'm gonna die while their future is completely uncertain. It's how morbid is that, you know?
Yeah, quite a bit.
How dark and gross is that?
But maybe he wasn't thinking about Nintendo at all. He was probably thinking about, man, I'm never going to see my grandkids smile again or something like that. That's probably more what he was thinking.
No, he's probably thinking about video games.
He probably had a couple of thoughts about Nintendo on his deathbed. You can't be that successful as a person who heads a company. This guy was a programmer.
Nah, it's true.
Who became a CEO. Like, he had to really, really, really like his company. Like,
well, you know what?
Now
he's pressing that big plasti switch in the sky.
Oh, the old plasti switch.
Yeah.
That guy.
I don't know. If my company's...
Gotta love that plasti switch.
If my company's answer to a new game was, we're going to make Mario and Paper Mario and Pixel Mario, and we're going to put them in one Mario game, and then we're going to make another Mario game out of pieces of old Mario games, I'd be looking to fake my way into
check
the Bahamas.
Out of the old,
yeah.
Check yeah, out well, of the old on. Hotel like, Earth.
They're making a weird eSport with the Metroid. You know, thing. They have a board game with Animal Crossing. Like I don't understand.
Okay, that eSport Metroid game is like 12 FPS, and it's ugly and it blows.
Okay.
But yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Tim, were you disappointed that they didn't rip off Video Ball and put Samus in there in ball form and try and market that?
Yeah, I think that would have been the best. Nintendo had a chance to get Video Ball. I talked to them
really?
Like four times. Yeah. They were like, we love Video Ball. We love it. We love it. Can we have it? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, we love it. Can we have it? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, we love it so much. Can we have it? I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we love it. And I'm like, okay. And then it's just, I don't know what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to like send them a photocopy of my balls and like write, I love Nintendo on my balls. And then sit on a Xerox machine and send it to him.
I mean, I don't know
what I'm supposed to do.
If you could actually make if you could actually go through all their terms and what's-its and things and spend the 3 or 4 months it takes to put it on the Wii U, then you could totally just do it. I mean, it's with the Unity at all. I mean, they've said that to me as well, and it's like, yeah, I mean, but I don't know if I want to spend 4 months doing that. And they're like, we understand.
Yeah, yeah. So that's basically what Brandon just said is, my story in non-allegorical form. So that's the English translation of my idiot story. So yeah, it's like, and you know, you fill this stuff out and you talk to them and you send stuff back and forth and they're just like, well, how about this now? And it's like, oh, okay. Like, well, how about this? It's like Satoru Iwata's life. Like Video Ball would have saved his life. That's a joke.
Oh,
it wouldn't have saved his life. It would not have saved his life. Man, that sucks. So the bile duct, for those who don't know, it's sort of like the pancreas because you kind of don't get too much of a good time from problems with that.
No.
With the cancer. It's kind of not, there's like a 12% survival rate of that particular type of thing that he had. It's like, yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
Okay, in equally grim scenarios here, moving on, you own a game company, if we can just imagine this.
Okay.
And you find out that you have just paid millions of dollars to acquire the license to Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense, the motion picture soundtrack, the video game.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm assuming this is just – we can move on to other potential licenses if this is not something
no,
with
we
a
can
lot
start
of familiarity.
There. I mean, I'm,
how do you make this game?
So first I want to point out that this is the opposite of everything that Frank likes. Frank, I don't know if you're familiar with this Stop Making Sense movie. Have you seen it?
What's the name of the movie?
So the Talking Heads, you know, they were
I know
a band,
the Talking Heads, yeah.
And they had a concert movie called Stop Making Sense.
Okay.
And one of the big – features of this is that David Byrne, right?
Yeah.
For part of it, he's in this gigantic suit that makes his head look incredibly tiny, and his body is huge. So, like, you know,
that's
Frank,
good. We're good. Yeah. Go on.
No, but usually you like big head, tiny body.
Well,
you
yeah. Usually, yeah, when we're doing a licensed game, I'd like to start with giant head, small body, TurboGrafx 16 graphics.
Yes. So this is what I'm saying. There's a part of this license that is diametrically opposed to your ideals.
Well, now there's nothing.
But think about this, though.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a ride armor. Okay, this is like Karibo's shoe, or, you know, there's a lot of ways you can implement this. You kill someone in the big suit, or you eat a mushroom and you gain the big suit. Like the giant Mario in,
Super
Mario Brothers.
Or like Loke Man.
No, I hate that giant Mario.
Loki Man.
It's like Blaster Master. It's like Blaster Master. So, you have a tiny head and a big body and you're running around, but if you press select, the little guy jumps out, and it turns out that he's got a huge head. You just couldn't see his tiny body in the suit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's a question. How do you like? What is the loss condition? Is the loss condition if you start making sense?
That is a possibility.
Well, no. At the beginning of the game, you're making sense.
Oh yeah. Right.
The final boss is making sense.
Yeah.
So you have to...
You have to stop them.
You have to kill. You have to stop.
I see.
That makes sense.
But now, what kind of gameplay formula are we looking at here? Because there's an obvious choice if you're smart enough to know it.
Okay, here's what I think, and it's not the obvious choice because I'm not smart enough to know it.
Okay.
But it's basically you have to sing/speak the way David Byrne does, directions to your little platforming avatar. So you're like, jump left, and that's how you control the game with like a
kind of like that.
That's how that's when you say how far he's gonna jump. The more fa's you do, the further he jumps. And so with one of those cool mics, I don't know, like the mic. Dreamcast had a mic, right? Yeah, the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
The purple one. I mean, orange. Wow, my brain.
Green. Green.
Was it green?
The little
ball
was
mic.
Green.
Yeah, the Seaman mic had a green bit.
Was there a different mic?
There may have been.
I don't know.
Nintendo 64 had a microphone even for Densha to Go. We could do this 64-bit style with really blurry textures.
So, Nintendo 64 microphone.
Big question is, are the talking heads our friends or enemies?
Well, see, I was thinking actually this could be like a Mr. Bones style of variety platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you play as David Byrne and you want to make like avant-garde world music that everyone hates.
Yeah.
And the talking heads and all the fans and the record companies are trying to get you to reunite, and they're trying to make you, submiss to their plan there.
Okay, so I'll concede that what he wants to do is like make weird world music that no one likes, but his only power is fire because his name is David Byrne. So he has to create this music by setting different members of the talking heads on fire. Or just talking heads in general. I mean,
well, yeah, I don't think it's the talking heads. I think
it's heads that are talking. Well, in fact, the name of the band is Talking Heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'll just be various heads that are talking. Like the thing that you throw eggs into in Super Mario 2 or Seaman. He's basically a talking head. Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You mean the bird head that you walk into?
Yeah, but, oh yeah, you don't throw things in there. You throw things at Birdo, but sometimes, I'm always carrying one of those when I jump in there, so I feel like I throw things in there.
Oh, right, okay. So, could this also be like a Kid Chameleon kind of thing, except good, maybe?
Yeah, well, I think Kid Chameleon, you would have like a, that would be more if you had a Culture Club cover band, Culture Club license, and so
right.
It's like Karma Chameleon, so Karma Kid Chameleon is what it would be.
Nice.
Okay, well,
took me a long time to get to that joke.
Yeah, let's do some name association with various bands and potential game formulas. So, I mean, you can feel free to just jump in here, but like, for example, Iron Maiden would obviously be like Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking Iron Man in a dress.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Boom.
How about, all right, I'll come up with a band real quick. New Edition, it would be maybe you got
Magazine Simulator.
Yeah, it's Paperboy.
Newspaper.
I'm thinking, except you what do they call those newsies that were on the corners? They just call them.
I feel like you're working towards Paper Boys to Men.
Yeah, Paper Boys to Men. Yeah, that's the sequel.
Nice.
Soundgarden would be some experimental, like, that game company kind of game.
Rez.
Yeah.
It would just
be
Rez.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say most bands.
Yeah.
Most bands that have names that any of you guys have heard of. That's a joke. I'm just joking. Most of those bands, it'd just be Rez. You know, just put some of their songs into Rez. Mm-hmm. That's me burning music. Boom. Deal with it.
Oh.
Owned.
Well, most, by you guys, I'm talking about the viewer, the listeners.
Right, of course.
Like, most of them, yeah. Of course our listeners don't know what cool stuff is. That's why they're listening to us.
So, oh, no. Don't tell them the
boom,
secret.
Deal with it.
Well, personally, for the Talking Heads game, I would really just like to, like, license or take out of lapsed copyright the entire gameplay mechanism from Deadly Premonition.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, just think about it. It's like you're letting the days go by.
Yeah.
You may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile.
Yeah, mm. Water flowing underground.
Wait. Right, exactly. Yeah. You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack.
Yeah, you might.
Yeah.
And then the DLC is...
The DLC
my God,
is my
what
God,
have
what
I
have
done?
I done? Yeah, exactly. And there you go.
Are you ever going? Are you going to burn down a house at any point in that game? Is going to be David burning down the house? Yeah. Is that a level?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And then you know, to get the tech bro crowd, we can have him go to David Burning Man.
Ooh.
Oh no! Wow. Don't do that.
That's going to be the worst sequence that nobody wants, but it's in there anyway. It's like the ice level of this game.
I will go to GameStop. I will use my scratch off lottery winnings to buy every copy of this game, and then I will put them through a muffin monster. And if you don't know what a muffin monster is, look it up on the internet. It's terrifying.
Fantastic theme music that goes along with that thing.
The muffin monster?
Yeah.
This machine. If you don't know what a muffin monster is, go to YouTube and search for "This Machine Destroys Everything."
You'll have a good time.
And get ready for the best. I sent an email to JWE Environmental, JWC Environmental. I sent an email to PR@JWCEnvironmental.com saying, can you just send me that song? Do you have that song somewhere? Can you just tell me what that song is? I need it for something. Just like that.
For my story.
So they didn't?
There was no reply.
Oh, fuck.
So they never sent it.
So before we go on to the next topic, I think it's important to point out the drinking instruments that the three panelists here on the Answer Credit Show have today. So Tim, I noticed, has a yellow Nalgene bottle, the slim mouth. I have a blue Nalgene bottle with a wide mouth.
These are all BPA free, I'm sure, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't pay for BPAs.
No,
okay?
I didn't pay the update for that, the upgrade for that. And then Brandon here. Brandon, what do you have there?
I've got a vintage McDonald's Camp Snoopy collection mug, in which Linus says, "The struggle for security is no picnic."
yeah. So vote for your favorite drinking apparatus on the InterCredit Facebook.
My kombucha also has a quotation on it. It says, "Live each day freely and lightly as our souls are meant to." And this was provided by Molly Tucker, future astrologist, upstate New York.
That's
basically what
you
want
to know something? I went to exactly five different yoga classes in Berkeley and Oakland, like just based on Yelp reviews. And I could not find one that was just about working out. They were all at the end. You're like, all right, now let's just sit here for a minute. Now let me tell you, you can do whatever you want, man. The world is, I'm just like, man, I came here because I want to do some stretching and I want to see the effective ways to do it. And I want to do it in a room that's real hot. And my room doesn't get as hot as this room does, no matter what I do, if I leave the oven open or whatever. So it's like, yeah, that's why I drink out of this and not your stupid kombucha bottle. which probably has kombucha in it, not water. So there you go. Deal with it.
I'll be refilling it. These are too expensive to just have one go because, I mean, you have to be seen drinking it. So if it's like $2.99 a pop for these, you got to get a couple uses out of it.
That's true.
Can you imagine someone makes a bottle, like a Nalgene bottle, that has a
kombucha like, thingy on it?
Like when you pour water into it, it like connects to the internet and puts like an inspirational quote on there. Somebody's going to make that. There's a cup. Did you know about this? There is a cup that you can pour food or a drink into, and it tells you via Bluetooth on your computer on an app the calorie content of whatever's in the glass. Did you know that?
Geez. Holy That's horrifying. Shit. I hate it.
It's well.
That's a little scary.
I don't know about hating it, but it weirds me out that we can do that sort of thing.
Well, you
now.
Have to tell
but,
it what the drink is, right?
I was going to say, does it determine what, like, could you put other fluids in there?
Oh, it knows what's in there.
That's impossible.
It knows what's in there.
So if you pee in that cup, in it'll tell you how many calories you got in your pee.
There's actually
does urine,
not any
does urine
calories
have
in pee.
I was going to say, you have to use a semen or something for that.
Unless you're diabetic.
And there is an article on calories. Jezebel that tells you how much calories are in semen. I read it. It's not very many.
Yeah, it's not that much protein. The people make jokes about that.
Yeah, it's really not that much, yeah.
You mean, is this why I'm losing muscle mass? Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Brandon, so,
what did you, speaking of which, Brandon, you wanted to talk about firefighters.
Okay, oh, yeah, ahead. I did. Oh. I did want to talk
can
about
I, can I make one final word about calorie content and urine?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you, I have had to Google, the reason I know there's calories in diabetic urine is because I have Googled mold in toilet diabetes, and it actually gets a lot of hits.
Yeah,
because that's actually a thing. It means your urine has sugar in it. Varying colors. That's all there is to it. Everybody, go on and look that up if you feel like
I actually
more.
Did, because when I moved out of California, I discovered there's like no of these mold particles in the air, and so I start pissing in another state, and I start seeing all this pink stuff, and I assume
forming
that I'm
in
bleeding.
The toilet.
Yeah. Sunny D.
Ah,
pink
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
Sorry.
The pink stuff.
The Sunny
pink
D.
Stuff.
Pink stuff. Pink.
You mean the purple stuff?
Purple.
I did. Well, of course, I meant purple stuff. I was just wanted to talk about Sunny D.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I hope the next topic is about Sunny D.
I wanted to talk
about
Sunny D.
I was going to say, we have to talk about Sunny D now. Did anyone actually drink Sunny D ever in their entire life?
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. But, firefighters.
Was it at your house or a friend's house?
God darn it. Friend's house.
See, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my mom's not going to have no Sunny D. I was born in Berkeley, California.
Exactly. We're all from California.
I ate
my family's a bunch of idiots. They drink Sunny D like it's Coca-Cola. So there's that.
Sunny Doca-Cola. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about firefighters specifically because regarding our last one of the things we talked about last time was Raw Danger. And then, as you may have seen, Granzilla has gotten the rights back to that series.
Granzilla.
Oh, yeah.
From IREM, and they're going to make Zettai Zetsume Toshi 4. And it actually looks like they're reusing the assets from the original. I don't think it'll be the original game, but they're remaking it. But anyway, my question is, related to this, what are your favorite concept video games? Because, you know, it's a disaster game that is very much a concept that they put all the way through. And then that, you know, Burning Rangers is a sci-fi thing, but Konami made that
Sci-Firefighters,
but Konami made that
FD-18,
yeah. And so I was thinking about these kinds of
and,
games.
Also, the makers of Disaster Report made Sakura Zaka Shobotai, which is about firefighters, and it's Disaster Report, but you're a firefighter.
Nice.
Do you think we could name between all of us every firefighting
really
game
cool.
ever published?
Every fighting
Ignition Factor.
The Firefighters.
Right, that's the only one I got, the Firefighters.
Man, I know there was there's one in the 16-bit era, but I don't remember what it was called.
There's Fire Truck. Famicom game. Oh yeah, there's Fire Truck. There's Fire a Truck. Famicom game that It might have been called... No, I can only remember the name of the American version that didn't come out, which is Blaze Busters. But there's a Famicom game where you play as the two guys holding the... whatever like the cloth thing is that people drop onto.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tarpaulin.
But if you're not fighting fire, does that count?
I think so.
They are firefighters. They are employed as firefighters.
Yeah.
Okay. You're part of the operation.
They could be volunteers, but in any case...
Sure. There was a Wii game, right?
I feel like there was.
There definitely was.
It was called Firefighter Idiots with Dumb Controller.
That's what it was, yeah.
Firefighter Idiots with Flap the Controller Moron. That's what it was called.
Exactly.
No, I remember that game.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the cool box art of Sakura Zaka Shobotai. Pretty cool, huh?
I don't know. We're all clicking at it.
Do you guys even know this game existed?
Okay.
Still loading. Oh, yeah.
Y'all probably didn't even know this existed.
Oh,
That's how cool I am.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, get owned, everybody.
It's a pretty cool one.
Oh, wait, what's... I have this game at my house.
Cool, that's where you live.
Could you pronounce that again for me?
Sakura Zaka Shobotai.
You know, I was thinking for video ball, what
Sakura
you need...
Sakura Zaka Shobotai.
Well, exactly. Yeah. You need to do the voiceover for it, but you need, like, a preceding title, like... You know, I'm thinking of, like, Fighting Ball Sport Vanborg. Is that... That's got to be a real game for...
Fighting Ball Sport, yeah.
Yeah, so what you need is, like...
Fighting.
Fighting
ball was actually
Chōkōsoku ball sport video boru, you know, something like that.
Chōkōsoku fighting boru sports. How about that,
guys? I have a good one.
Chōkōsoku.
What do you got, Frank?
Kakuto.
The Ren and Stimpy show. Fire dogs.
Oh, Ren.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cheated. There is a Moby Games category for the firefighting theme.
Don't cheat.
I had to.
Okay, cheat all you want. It's good for you.
Thanks.
Any other themes we can think of?
I know there, another firefighting game that I like a lot was for NES. Well, for Famicom in Japan, and like so, firefighting, you think hose, right?
Yeah.
So Sakura Zaka Shobotai is weird because your hose it like goes transparent, like behind, like it flops onto the ground, and then you like see it disappear inside the camera, and you can just snake it infinitely around the room, which is like really funny. So I always wanted a firefighting game where the hose can get stuck. I thought that would be cool, but there was one, and also where the spurt is really strong, and that's because of this Famicom game Spurt and Burton that was Well, that's a joke. It's not a real game. I'm sorry. I'll finish anyway. I cracked out of turn, to quote the film House of Games. Spurt and Burton, where whenever you fire your fire hose, your guy kind of just jolts back really far and you hold the button and you let go for like big spurts. Spurt and Burton. Check it out.
Well, you know, not to take anything away from that one, but it is kind of a an easy pastime to come up with fake Famicom and Nintendo games, and you don't necessarily know if they're legit or not. You could fool people pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
Not that many people are familiar with the 1,000-plus games on the Famicom.
Yeah, I think you could also...
Well, but you just take a name like Rad Pod.
Yeah.
Rad Pod.
Is that a real name, or did I just make that up?
So actually, Spurt and Burton is an interesting game for the Famicom because it can also be read Spartan Barton.
Oh, yeah.
And the main bad guy's name is Spartan Barton, and he's a Spartan warrior.
I gotta say that Spurt and Burton sounds more like a ZX Spectrum game to me.
Yeah, it's got that...
Oh, God, yeah. It certainly does.
It's got that Euro
well,
game.
It was actually made in England.
Oh,
and,
it's one of those weird
released.
Things where, like, Irem licensed, like, big... European games, but then changed them completely on the Famicom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it like didn't get released. It ultimately didn't get released in England because the publisher folded.
Right. That's sad.
Brandon, does being a ninja count as a profession? Like, how do you define this?
Well, concept games, I guess, are like you delve really deep into one specific concept and. Man, it's hard to define, but like Zetai Zetsume Toshi is really like a survival game in the way that most other games are not, and firefighter games sometimes are really firefightery. But like there are taxi games where Crazy Taxi is not one, but if London Cab had been made, well, maybe it would have been one. So, but maybe this is too specific.
Well, like Euro Trucker, all those games would fit that category, right?
Yeah, oh, it's true. Like those things, Farm Simulator, all of those kinds, definitely.
I feel like that's almost cheating. They've taken it too far, and now it's like, well, you know, yeah. You can't even pass this off as a game. It's, you know.
But people love that stuff.
So
they love the heck out of it.
I kind of want to marathon all these firefighting games now.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I just sent everybody in chat.
Ignition Factor again.
Yeah, Ignition Factor would be cool. I just sent everybody a link to the cover art for an MSX game called Fire Rescue, and I don't know what's going on this cover. It looks to me like a firefighter is running away from an explosion while holding a screaming gigantic rat.
I mean,
there's
a Hudson B on
the corner. I think
Hudson.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's developed by Hubs. Developed by Hudson, published by Kuma Corp Computers. This may have been an early Iwata game.
There's an artist's signature down there. Can we read that artist's signature? Can anyone make out what that says?
It looked like Dalton or Satan. I'm not sure which of those two it is.
Darren.
Dalton Dave?
Dazen?
Dalton Dave. He's related to Spurton Burton.
Do we really want to make
Spurton Burton?
Do we do episode art? Because we should use this as the.
I think we do sometimes.
All right. Anyway,
I was actually going to ask, but this is a useless topic, of course. Like most of them, what games have you purchased solely based on the box art, and how bad did that turn out for you?
I have kind of an abstract. I have like an abstract answer to this, which is. I had a pretty nice collection of video games. I lost them all because of things. And then when I went to Japan in 2013, I just bought a bunch of games with no intention of playing them just because I loved their box art and I liked the games. So I have a bunch of games on my shelf here that have box art I love, but I'm never going to play those physical copies of those games. They're just going to sit there.
Awesome.
And so that includes Dragon Quest V, Papa LaCroix Monogatari, Phantasy Star 2 for Mega Drive, Shining Force 2, Shining in the Darkness, Seiken Densetsu 4, Dragon Quest 8, just games that have really fantastic box art.
It's hard for me to think of any that I bought just for the cover. I did buy some Saturn games just for their cases recently, but that's a different and much more deep compulsion.
You bought them because they had pictures of unreleased games, right?
Actually, there was one that I wanted. I didn't actually get, but I want to get for cheap at some point because it has a picture of an unreleased game. But no, I bought them because they had pristine plastic cases that I could replace some of my better games that are broken. But I've definitely bought a lot of. This isn't exactly the right thing, but. Any game that has Nihon Telnet on the cover, I buy that.
Love those guys.
And a lot of their games are pretty bad, but this one Legion I bought because it said that and also had a really nice ship on it. I like that quite a bit.
I don't know if that counts because you buy any PC Engine game you don't already have.
Yeah, unless it is. Like an adventure game only, then I probably don't buy it. But it's true. Well, I did buy for the Genesis. I bought Majin Saga.
Majin
probably.
Saga, yeah.
But it's written as Mazin over here, and it's got.
That's amazing.
I don't have the box with me, but the cover art has this cool Guyver style robo on the front of it, and I bought that one definitely just for the cover, and the game's fine. It's not great. Actually, there are a lot of pirate games that I have bought for the cover art only. Like a 12-year-old's drawing of Goku next to Sonic, like shaking hands or something.
Terrifying 9/11, for example.
Yes. Yeah, I don't own that, but that's a good one. But yeah, I've definitely done that.
I guess this one counts, but
nice.
Because of the project I'm working on, you may or may not know that Mega Man 6 was published in the United States by Nintendo, not by Capcom. Yeah, so this is in 1994, like early 94 was the Nintendo version came out. Like the Nintendo's dead by this point. It turns out turns out that Capcom appears to have at least planned to bring out Mega Man 6 here, because in Brazil you can find Capcom USA labels on some Mega Man 6 cartridges for some reason. So I don't know if they just kind of, you know, when the Brazilian publisher, you know, was getting ready, if they just used unused labels or something. But I did have a proxy buyer in Brazil buy and send me a copy of Capcom USA Mega Man 6, which I purchased solely for its art.
That's pretty cool.
I just want to point out that that is among the most boring things you can end a sentence. I did have a proxy buyer in Brazil buy.
Yeah.
usually it would be like, I did have a proxy buyer in Brazil buy me some rare rainforest animals.
Sure. Yeah.
Like that's there's like millions of really great ways to end that sentence.
Yeah.
Mega Man, it's like, that's cool, but. I mean,
but not,
I did have a proxy buyer in Brazil secure me a rare rainforest snake that I used to murder a politician or whatever. It's like, there you go. That's exciting.
His only weakness was against this one.
No, because the venom is untraceable. That's why you would want the rare rainforest snake.
No, he's a final boss, and it's his only weak point. I bought this game that you listening cannot see, but it is a
is that Uncle Fester?
It's a Famicom game, pirate
Metal
clone
Fester.
Thing with Nosferatu. Actually,
wasn't that it's either Batman or Castlevania? Usually,
it's Castlevania.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got like illustrated scenes from Nosferatu on it.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I definitely bought that just for the cover, and I was like, I do not care what is inside of this, and it doesn't work. So,
all right.
But
well,
I've been told
that's
Castlevania.
To be the case. By the way, head down to Streetlight Records in San Jose if you want a bunch of cases with no games in them, because they like to sell them that way.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I didn't even complain because I bought like a copy of Double Dragon 3. For Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible game.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing box art.
Yeah.
Didn't even complain.
The Sacred Stones.
The Sacred Stone, yes. That game is actually so bad that it's almost incredible. It's got just such a trippy, floaty feel to it that it's like playing the LSD Dream Simulator on game?
This is a controversial opinion outside of this show, but I really do not think Technos Japan had a whole lot going on at any time.
I really like the Kunio games, despite them being bad.
But you know they're like
the Kunio,
50,
okay.
They're what?
You ready for this?
Yeah. There are like 50 of them.
There are like 60 Kunio-kun games. I think, yeah, like Super Dodgeball, Kunio-kun Baseball.
I like the hockey one a lot. There's like, yeah.
All right.
The hockey one is really neat. It's very expressive characters. So I'm going to express a opinion that someone, like, if you looked at me on the street, like, just walked past me, you know, and you're like a cool dude or whatever, you might stop and ask me, you know, a rhetorical question such as, River City Ransom rules, right? You know? Like, that's like the kind of rhetorical question I get on the street all the time, just putting that out there.
Uh-huh.
River City Ransom blows. And that's just straight dope.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm allowed one, I'm not even going to talk about it per insert credit episode, so there it is.
Yeah,
not even going to talk about it. You out there listening, let's not even talk about it. Maybe Frank likes it. Do you like it, Frank?
It's a bad game that I like. I don't think it's a good game
okay.
in any way.
At least you acknowledge it's a bad
Absolutely.
Game. That's good. The game blows. Yeah. Like almost everything
all
about
of,
it blows.
All
I'm not
of
even
the Kunio
about.
Games are unbalanced and strange and don't feel good. But they are so different from anything else that I can't help but appreciate them.
Yeah, they got a bunch of ideas. Yeah. I like the ideas.
They do.
We can at least agree that the NES Double Dragon 2 is like a masterpiece, right?
Yeah, I played it a bunch of times.
It's technically interesting.
Yeah.
but again, it's one of those almost games, mm-hmm. you know?
That's as good as they could do, is almost.
Like, I think Super Double Dragon, Double Dragon 4, is their best game, hands down. Double Dragon 4 for the Super Nintendo.
Oh my god, that game is so unfinished.
Yeah,
wait,
but it's
Super Double Dragon or Double Dragon 4?
I think they're the same thing. Well, there's Double Dragon 5 fighting game.
Is the one-on-one fighter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for Jaguar.
Yeah, that's the fighting game. So Double Dragon 4 is it's just Double Dragon with really nice graphics and cool settings. It has an airport level, which I like. I like when there's an airport in a video game.
There's one in Outfox, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elevator Action Returns.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention
another
that
game
one.
With an airport level.
Great airport level.
Bullet Witch has an airport level.
Oh, yeah, BW.
God, what else is there? BW's got
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Modern Warfare 2's airport level, despite being the controversial level, and despite being put in a stupid place in the game, it's so early when you have no emotional investment in anything, and you might just be sitting down to play your first video game in a couple months or whatever, that actually ends up being a pretty good level.
They put
that
it in
game
the prime
in general
sociopath.
Is real good.
Prime sociopath position.
Yeah, they put it the PSP.
Yeah.
they put it right as the second thing you do in the game, and it's like, man, let me, I don't know,
give
learn
me a
who
second.
Some of the characters are first. Yeah, give me a second before you give me the level I'm supposed to talk to my friends about, you know?
Yeah.
The end. I love airport levels. Where else is there a good airport?
There's a bad
Anybody
airport
know?
In a game called Spiritual Warfare, which is Wisdom Tree's Christian-themed Zelda clone. There's a
nice.
Whole Zelda,
in an airport?
Yeah, and it's weird. There's like weird details in that game, like a working luggage return that has no function other than you watch luggage go around.
That's fun.
While you go to the next screen and like throw an apple at a pirate to make him convert to Christianity.
There's
of Tony Hawk 3 there. The baggage claim, that is.
I don't think this really counts, but there are a heck bunch of sky ports in all the Japanese RPGs, like skyship ports. But it's probably not even worth mentioning them because there are so many.
Does Aerobiz Supersonic count?
Is it an environment if you can't walk around it?
You got to be able to walk around it.
Okay.
Maybe that's all.
That's
of
all
them.
The airports I can think
yeah,
of.
I think that's all of
yeah.
them.
Probably more.
No.
Are you saying this topic is done? Is that what
yeah,
you're saying?
Move on.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're running out of time here. So we're going to end. We're going to backtrack and end on an anticlimactic note.
Nice.
All right.
To
yeah.
go back to film licenses, actually, that you've paid now tons and tons of money to purchase the rights to. But somebody else also has the license in some weird occurrence. And so you've got Mad Max. But
okay.
somebody else is
nice.
Already making an open-world driving game out of Mad Max. And you can't do that.
Oh, right. Okay, so we have
what,
Mad Max
what Mad
right
Max
now.
Game do you make?
We have Mad Max right now while someone else is also making Mad Max. You know, this is actually a thing that that almost happened to me when I was trying to make a Bad Dudes game. And
bad dudes.
And so we were talking.
You weren't a bad enough dude.
We were talking with the rights holder.
Blasted.
Because I really just wanted to make a beat 'em up, but I thought that Bad Dudes would push it over the top. Because it doesn't really matter who those dudes are as long as they're bad.
Right. And they have to rescue the president. That's the only other.
Yeah, and rescue the president, whatnot. Maybe you play
the
as the president
sucks.
Later. He does. So so anyway, we were trying to do this, and then.
It has to be Ronald Reagan that they rescued.
And then the Kickstarter for Bad Dudes came up, and it looked awful, and it was awful, and it was made clearly by some people who had never made video games before, and they were like, yeah, and we got the official license. And so I talked to whether it was Gmode or Pawn or whichever company had eviscerated the corpse of Data East for this particular license. And they're like, oh, yeah, we gave it to them, too. And it's like, wait, you guys don't care at all. That's not how this is supposed to work. They're like, oh, you're going to
wait. They're just shop. They're selling them like cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that's what they were
just
doing.
Kinda, whoever's hungry,
yep.
they're serving it up.
That's what it was. So anyway.
I don't see a problem.
Mad Max.
Well, so we're probably low on money if we paid all that money for the license at this point.
We are.
So it's probably,
and you still haven't made up your loss on the Talking Heads game. So
that's right.
So we have to go cheap and extremely profitable. Mm-hmm. So we got to do some kind of management game on mobile, I guess.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Resource management.
Yeah.
So wait, there's this. It's like your boss. Your boss is named Max, and he's always really angry.
Yeah.
And you have to do things to make sure that he doesn't become mad.
So you, it's basically you're assembling hamburgers by sliding the pieces on top of each other with your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
We can get this done in about a month. We'll farm most of it out, and then go out of business. I think we're good.
Yeah, we did it. Ladies and
gentlemen.
Okay,
good night, everybody.
We video gamed.
Every time you assemble a burger, there's a cutscene where he gives it to his boss, and his boss looks at it, and it takes about 30 seconds because we didn't optimize the code. We didn't have time. So it takes about 30 seconds for him to actually, like, make his judgment as to whether he's mad. So you just look at this, like, really large guy in like a pinstripe suit with a cigar in his mouth, staring at a hamburger for about 30 seconds, and then he'll either like there's just one frame of him smiling or being really mad, and then that's the whole game.
I was thinking
kind of like the guy in Pilot Wings.
Yeah,
I was thinking it'd just be like a screen with him like with a thumbs up, and it's like Max is happy. Or Max is mad, but it's just the same image, and we just changed
that's probably the one
cheaper. Word.
Yeah,
it's cheaper.
Well, we got a little bit of money.
Where did we get it from? We got nothing left.
Just being cool.
I don't know.
Listen, we're game developers here, so we understand that we have no money ever.
Yeah, that's right. It's all gone.
Just make a screenshot and put it on Kickstarter. That's all.
What is the stretch goal for funding this project?
Wii U port,
Australian dubbing to get closer to the original.
Remember, one thing I didn't get to make fun of about Shenmue 3 in the last episode was it had stretch goals that were like, so what, it was 3 million, and then it's like 3,200,000 German subtitles.
Yeah.
3,400,000 Italian subtitles. It's like, that was like really sad. I mean, I understand they're not saying the subtitles are going to cost $200,000. They're saying that's just what they'll do if they reach that point. It's like, come on, just put them in there no matter what, man.
Hey,
seriously.
Speaking of terrible Kickstarters that are run by Japanese companies, did you guys know at all about this game called Red Ash?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
did.
I knew about it, and I tweeted about it, and
okay,
I was ready for it.
I had never.
But
I'm not cool enough. I don't know.
Nobody
about
cared.
It.
I had never.
Okay, yeah. As you might imagine, and this will make sense soon, as working on the thing that I work on, yeah. People sure do tell me about that.
Okay, so basically it's another concept half idea where Inafune, aka Inaboat, took Keiji Inaboat. He took a couple of concepts, like he had three pieces of concept art and then a couple of minutes of video of him talking to his staff, and he's like, yeah, so anyway, we're making a video game. Give me $800,000. Yeah. And apparently, for whatever reason, even though there's absolutely nothing in that Kickstarter, he was able to get 433,000 of those dollars into the Kickstarter.
486,000.
Okay, I guess a little
as
more
of right now
happened. But it's only got 4 days left, and so they weren't going to make it. So today they announced, hey, by the way, lol, we have a publisher, and they've funded the whole thing. So we're just gonna use all of your Kickstarter money to, for bonuses, and extra stuff, and more polish time. And it's getting into this kind of terrible situation where, like, do people even need the money? Like, what are they, like, they've gotta talk about what they've got on the table.
So I guess the argument here is that they had funding the whole time, and he was being a very cagey Inafune.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. He was.
With Mighty Number 9, they had money, didn't they?
Like, I'm sure they did.
It's all weird, man. It's all weird.
Yeah. I don't think it would be a big deal if people came up front and said, here's how much money we have, but we want to make it better than that. Here's how much we want to make it better. Do you want a better game?
Yeah, so like the Lab Zero.
They put it in there somewhere.
No, they didn't.
Don't they?
They didn't.
No. Oh, they didn't?
No, they didn't. They just announced it today.
Today, they're like, hey, we're funded.
Yeah. And the next...
Oh, no, I mean...
What?
Well, usually they'll say something along the lines of, in order to gauge consumer interest, we're trying to raise this much money.
Yeah.
We have investors willing to back us contingent on our displaying.
They almost never
Kickstarter.
Say that much.
No. Shenmue certainly didn't say that.
No,
much.
They didn't say it. And Red Ash definitely didn't. They, like, if you look at their update announcement, they're like, we're funded. And then the next line is, but how? ! It's like, yeah. But the Lab Zero folks, they're doing it. They're explaining correctly and accurately that 505 Games like has funded a prototype for them and then will match whatever they get through their Indiegogo campaign, which I think Indiegogo is a mistake, but there you go. That's what they're doing.
Well, this is why Square should have put up Final Fantasy VII and said, okay, we only need 70 million from the fans to make this project work.
Right.
And then they'd get 69 million, and then they'd say, oh, we got 100 million already in this, so we'll just use this for extra polish.
Yeah. Extra polish. They're going to outsource it to Poland.
That's what they should have done.
In the beginning.
But man, this Red Ash thing is weird for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
First of all, every time I see somebody like from Japan kickstarting something, I have just always presumed that there was money from the start, and it's like they're using it as a demographic measurement tool.
Yeah, or publicity vehicle.
Yeah, as a vehicle of some sort, some kind of a car or boat.
Or a warthog.
Using it as. Yeah, a warthog. So the thing about this Red Ash is, again, it's a piece of concept art, some characters, and a couple of promises. Mighty No. 9 got like $45 billion, something like that, on Kickstarter, because it's like, oh, we're making a Mega Man. And then this doesn't even – it's like this is clearly the game that I'm like way more excited about. And then have you seen people talking about Mighty No. 9? It's like coming out soon and – people are just being really brutal about it.
Well, it doesn't
look
good.
Everybody's...
It looks pretty dang bad.
Oh, man. I played it at the Bit Summit, and it looks real good, man. It's a Mega Man game. That's what people paid for.
I don't know. It looks bland as heck to me.
I say it looks like shit, doesn't it?
I don't know if people know... Wait, doesn't it, you say at the end of your question? Because you... turning your sentence into a question.
Yes.
So a lot of the hate is about the art style.
I think the onus is on you to explain why this does not look like shit. I'm sorry.
The art style looks real good, in my opinion.
I don't know.
I think the art style is real fancy.
I think it's bland and
also... It looks nice and slick.
I don't think it... I mean, I played it a while ago, and it was... Unless they optimized the heck out of it and tweaked a bunch of stuff, it was kind of limp and floaty feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I
mean, it's a Mega Man game.
It is.
I honestly think Mega Man games are pretty bad in general.
Oh, Frank, we know you're just protecting your investment in Mega Man there. Come on.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there. I think Mega Man games are, by and large, NTG. Not that great. There's great stuff in there. Mega Man X is pretty good. I don't know.
So having spent the last, what, 6 or 7 months or whatever with the original Mega Man games, I do think that there's a certain aesthetic appeal that came from their limitations. And
there is an undeniable appeal.
Yeah, and I think those limitations like made those games shine. And when I played Mighty No. 9, I just kind of felt like, okay, this is what these games would be like with no limitations or, you know, like large corporation saying no, you know, and it just didn't work.
Mega Man Unchained.
Like it just reminded me of like when John Kay made new Ren and Stimpy cartoons without like Nickelodeon telling him no, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah. I guess those limitations.
That was just gay sex and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Mighty Number 9. Just the opening cutscene was weird.
Yeah, super gross.
There's gay sex in the opening cutscene?
So it's weird that this Red Ash, I see a lot of, I've been reading through the comments on the Kickstarter recently, because there's like, there are 11,378 comments on it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people just talking constantly about it for the last couple of weeks. It seems like the consensus is that people aren't backing it because they feel burned by Mighty Number 9. They feel like Mighty Number 9 made promises that it is not looking like it's going to keep. They're also saying Mighty Number 9's not out yet. So it's like, why should they start a new Kickstarter when their first game's not out yet? It's like, knowing sort of how the game industry works, Mighty Number 9's pretty much out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not out yet, but they know a release date. There's an announced release date. It's out, you know? I mean, come on. Like, it's all done.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just interesting to me to see the evolution of the Kickstarter backer, hive mind. Think Force.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of a bunch of words. Think Force.
That's a good title for a game coming up.
Yeah. I think on the other hand, you know, knowing about the Kickstarter Think Force, I would not do a new Kickstarter before my game is definitely
unless you were almost out of money, which is probably feasible given that they're a video game company.
Yeah, it could
they
be.
Done hubrised it up.
Yeah, they hubrised.
If there were a film adaptation of this, it would be directed by Stanley Hubris.
Man, I was about to try to make that joke, but you were too quick. You
there
were
we
already
go.
Doing it. It's not
Keiji Inafune, a biography, the life story, directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Yep.
I missed an opportunity for an Edward James Almost joke there somewhere in the Nosferatu.
Oh, man, my
area.
Two favorite porn star names are Edward James Almost and Tom Hardley.
Yeah.
I think those are the two best
pretty good.
Porn star names in history, as I tweeted once.
It's a shame she won't live. Yeah, but then again, who does?
But she almost will, he said in the original. And they're like, hey. No, you can't promote yourself in this movie.
Get out of here, Elon.
Hey, EJ. Hey.
EJO.
All right, so maybe we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we're gonna end on another soft ending here. Looks like we've run out of time with a whimper.
How was that a whimper?
I just want to say we didn't talk about Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah, what is that about?
Which is a shame. Dragon Quest XI is the best.
Okay.
If you don't like Dragon Quest XI, if you don't think it's cool, get rocked.
Man, what are we talking about it now, or what?
No, we're not. I'm just saying that that's
all right.
We just did.
Okay.
If you don't let it own you, get rocked.
But let's talk about that two screen thing next time.
Okay.
Oh, I love the two screen thing so much.
I know you do.
I threw up all over myself.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next time.
So we will be back next week, which. And the order these are airing will be just some infinite week that nobody knows what week we're talking about. But
mystery.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Mystery week.
And follow us on Twitter and Angie's List.
Yeah.
Zillow.
Yeah, you can find my Zanga if you try real hard.
Was that like internet
I remember
currency?
Asking what is I remember asking what is Zanga? And my friend was like, "Oh, it's like Friendster, but like for Asian people."
That's what it was.
Was my Korean friend's explanation.
It was LiveJournal. LiveJournal, but for Asian people is what Zanga is.
LiveJournal, but for Asian people. There you go. So there it is. It's like because, and I was like, what's the reasoning? It's like, well, because Asia is like the place where you kind of go when you want to hang out with people whose names start with X because there's a lot more of them.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
Professor Xylophone. Well,
a lot of people named Xylophone over there, I was about to say.
It's true.
And there you have it.
Yeah, the end.
The end.
Insert credit show.
Silver, yeah!
Oh, wait, we forgot to thank... No, but we're still recording, so I'll just say... I'm still recording.
I am. I'm still recording.
So I'm going to... Oh, Joel, you want to do it?
Well, I don't know who Blaine is, but he's putting in a hell of a lot of work.
Okay, I'll do it. I will say... thanks to Blaine Brown for putting this podcast together and turning it into Not Garbage. Thanks. Bye.